are we then moving into something where we're asking the department to do something, but the same regulations may make another change at a later date?
I think the areas that this resolution speaks to are the main problems that we're looking at for the new regulations. Alaska is the only state that has a DHM system, and the reason we do it is because of our rural village communication. And rural application will still be something that we'll have to have in order to get the information out of the villages to make decisions. I think these are very valid points, and they'll still be valid points after the regulations.
You're paying $4 an hour for application, you thought they were, how much do you want to pay out for the DHM?
You pay $4, and it's for both APC and food stamps, so for our 150 DHMs annually, it's about a $48,000, $50,000 budget. Half of it is federal.
You have how much general fund?
$25. And the reason being, the $8 being a more reasonable payment is that we can train these people, but if they aren't, if they have no desire to be a DHM or to stay a DHM very long once they get into it, then we again have attrition problems. DHMs in and out so rapidly, we can't keep them trained.
Well, 150 on this one.
Varies between about 120 and 150 active.
About $48,000, which is just about $320 a year, the average person makes
It's more an effort on their part to help out the community than to get any money out of it.
Well, Madam Chairman, I'd like to move this if we can. I wonder if we could just amend out for practical purposes by returning the task of eligibility determination to the district office. Delete that phrase on line 25 and 26.
Of page 1?
Of page 1, that's all we got here. And
after the word process, beginning with by returning the task of eligibility determination to the district office.
That's right.
Is there objection to that amendment? Hearing none, the amendment is adopted.
Madam Chairman, I'd like to know what that would be.
Madam Chairman, would this also be amended to indicate that the selling of food stamps at the village level would be a pilot project? That would make a tremendous difference in the fiscal note, too. That would eliminate any cost here because it's already, well, I guess maybe I'll be showing it, although it's in the House budget. That would reduce that from $315,000 to $30,000.
There is a, in our House budget there, there's $30,000 in the line of budget put in by the Finance Committee to contract with the Native Corporations and Kodiak to do a pilot project in food stamps.
Kathy, would you like to propose that amendment?
Propose it or oppose it?
Well, I wonder if you favor it.
Well, I wonder if that's going to be effective enough. What did you say that requires that kind of behavior?
That would involve the entire village communities around the podium here.
We need time, really, Madam Chairman, to do a pilot project to see how it works. There is a lot of money involved in a lot of responsibility involved in part of the Native Corporation, whatever corporation we have contract with, because they are held liable for this food stamps that may be missing and accountable and this type of thing. So it's going to take us some time, and we need to work it out with one agency first before we make a statewide application.
Mr.
Carr? Well, we're paying out about $48,000 now for 153. I assume those mostly rural communities, so there's so much need more in Fairbanks than Anchorage. Now we're talking about $30,000 for a pilot project as a service in Kodiak area. This other system, which I would have to guess, must be a probably indicate a total for the state or somewhere in the neighborhood of $40,000 or $300,000, I don't know. Is it going to actually cost that much more to do it through a village post office rather than through a
village? Well, we can't do it.
I understand what you're talking about.
The village post office, we can't sell out of the village post office. The post office department will not accept the responsibility in the small areas.
So it means village council.
it means the village council or some organization in, within the area that is willing to accept responsibility of being held accountable.
What we gain by this over the present VHM system, except more,
this would be
cost of more to do.
This would be separate and apart from the VHM system.
Why did he sold, I guess?
This would deliver the coupon service at the village level instead of having somebody commit this, this money to the mail process and then send it to a district office.
The agents do not sell food.
The problem with selling at the village level, and why we would need time to experiment with this and work out the drugs, is that this is a very accountable process. There's a daily report out of every person who handles food coupons, along with the monthly report, a lot of accountable documents are involved. And this would count, this would almost double the front of the complications of the presence that we have, because we're around people in the process, they don't, they're not staying employed in our purchases. And we have to be monitoring it daily to make sure that, because we're liable for any dollars that are lost in this process.
Yeah, we would have to assume, though, if you answer that, then it would be a way to keep the gate.
No, fees is handled.
You're gonna have in the village, Alan Cactus, right, the village council is gonna take care of that people buy the food stamp on the spot, right? Now, why if those same people handle the applications and the rest of them? Why do you have to have two different agencies in the village dollar?
Well, first of all, VH itself handles not only the food stamp program, but he handles any application, any of the programs that you might want to. So he's handling more than just the food stamps. He's not there primarily for food stamps.
We wouldn't mind them.
If we could do it, we'd do it.
We could get somebody to buy that package, tell them we have a VHM effort that we need to accomplish, and we have a selling and food stamp problem that we want to handle. If somebody would buy that package, we'd
have to be careful. And any reason for a small village, anywhere from 250 to 400 people, or smaller in this case, is having more than one, usually one individual, have a one in the village.
We're trying to back it up as much as we can, because that person may be out of the village at some point in time, and then there's no coverage.
Well, I'm assuming at any given time, you have one person doing it. Right, one person, no, who has a deputy or a, I don't know, housekeeper or a replacement or something. But the thing is, it doesn't make any sense. We have two different agencies, two different people doing something like this in a small village.
We would, Mr. Fire, if we could get them to agree to it, when we wrote a contract, we certainly would be willing to write them in as the fee agents in these various communities. This is what we've tried with native corporations before, and they're very lukewarm to it. This way they see getting their food stamp to their people a lot faster. They can see this. And if they were willing, there's no problem with our contracting with them and be, to become the fee agents in their specific areas. We have no problem with that. But I don't know if they will or not.
Certainly we'll pursue it when we're trying to.
We don't want to do it.
Are you talking about village corporations or regional corporations?
We're talking about a, well, right now.
But actually, the work's being done down in the village corporation, if it gets done at all, right? Not the regional. No,
it depends on who would be willing to contract with us to handle it.
We haven't really had much discussion with the village corporations or the councils on this. We've been told by real captain the village council would try to be the best place to go, because the corporation is too profit oriented right now, and they're not going to be interested in this kind of project. But they are, it is going to devote a lot of time to it, and it may not make any money. It'd be a write-off type of thing. So when we go out looking for the person to do this, we certainly will be looking for someone to do the whole package, not just this one.
Yes, sir.
Well, if I can pursue them, Madam Chairman, the agent would be involved with the application process. And the rural resident will personally be the village council. This has to do with just power.
Selling and collecting cash.
Okay, for the or delivering
food stamps
and stuff.
Right now, if I can just describe the process, an application is completed, it's sent to a district, now it's going to be a regional office. Determination of eligibility, they send out an authorization to purchase card. And the card is signed, returned to that office, still the regional office, isn't it?
No, it goes to the district at that point.
It goes to the district office with cash, and the stamps are returned. That happens twice, so
knocking out that
part of the process.
I think we've tried.
If I may, the adjusted cost of that package, if those changes were made, would be about $130,000, so 2.7 million.
I think we've dragged this round up. Do we have amendments? Are there amendments?
No, Madam Chairman, we already got an amendment.
We have one. Okay, one deletion. Is there any other amendments?
pilot project stipulation on the salary.
I would move that. What was the, on line 28, was the word purchase changed to?
Obtain, I guess I didn't.
It was never a formal motion.
Is there objection to that amendment? Hearing none, that amendment is adopted. Are you ready for the question? Would you just run through the, so we get all the.
The language that Mr. Beatty is suggesting now for this kind of project, I think we ought to have that spelled out in here. I've just put a resolution out, you know, go ahead and do anything.
I think that the, I agree, I think that the, by, probably, something to the effect by testing rural residents purchase of coupons to a pilot project of some sort, rather than.
And where would that language be added?
Line 28, 29. Some stipulation, this is a pilot project, not that we're going to try to accomplish this on a statewide basis.
Well, Madam Chairman, it could possibly be by affording rural residents through a pilot project. That would mean if it's.
Okay, line 28, after the word residents, insert through a pilot project. Is there objection to the amendment?
The main certain area for a pilot project.
The House budget needs to, I don't know.
I think we'll leave it at that.
That's really already done.
Is there objection to the amendment? Hearing that the amendment is adopted.
Excuse me, have you decided not to adopt Representative Parr's suggested amendment on line 22, within prior, or within the president's resources, or whatever it is? That hasn't been adopted.
I didn't move it as my amendment, I'm just debating it.
Where was it on line 22? On line 22?
22 was suggested, after the word services down the line.
That was.
They did a, $130,000 now.
That would be the cost of these amendments.
That's for this resolution, over and above the $30,000, you know, what you've got in the budget.
$30,000 duplicating your resolution, I didn't know if we're doing that.
Well, that's what I'm asking, but.
Okay, $100,000.
This resolution alone, how much would, what would this cost?
$100,000. $100,000, since the $30,000 was already in the budget. I didn't know how to, I'm quite in it.
I'm not gonna move resolution.
I would probably around $60,000, if you could.
What did you say, Charlie?
I'm not moving the amendment.
You're not gonna move the amendment. Is there motion on the resolution?
I'm moving it.
Well, wait a minute. You're not moving much.
What then is this you had made?
I didn't make an amendment, I asked them what their reaction would be.
I'm wondering if we ever took action on Mr. Beatty's suggested language, I don't remember us doing.
What, the pilot project? Yes, we adopted it.
What was the first amendment, Madam Chairman?
To delete line 25, by returning the task of eligibility determinations to the district office. Second amendment was to change the word purchase to obtain on line 28. And the third amendment was to insert, after the word residents on line 28, the words through a pilot project.
Now, may I ask Rob a question? When we have these three amendments in, does this bring it down to roughly the $100,000?
Yes, ma'am.
Then the $30,000 is already in?
$30,000 already in.
And for this.
All that's for fee agents.
Okay, and with this, you can start upgrading your fee agents.
Yes, ma'am.
And start a pilot project, you'll start working towards next year.
Yes, ma'am.
Is there a motion on the bill?
Right.
Is there objection?
Sure.
$100,000, Madam Chairman, the last, very last days of legislature, I don't know why this didn't come up, it's been a long time ago, but they were so interested in making some changes in the system.
Yeah.
I suppose, Madam Chairman, when this bill comes, or when this resolution comes up for action on the House floor, that, this will note be passed around, so that everyone knows that they are increasing the budget by $100,000.
I'm sure that will be discussed. Does this resolution go to rules of finance, Madam?
That should be, that should be the new fiscal note, not what you, you should say, count your blessing, it could have been 1.5.
Yeah.
Is that the reason it wasn't passed around?
No, Glenn, it was passed around. You were here at the time, you don't need it to me, there was no point in that, we're here. Everyone else had. You came in a little bit after it was passed.
I
to those areas which request local health service responsibility. The committee substitute bill removes the HSA confusion and renames the areas as local public health service areas. Further clarification of the public health district designations expanded the original bill from 5 categories to a total of 7. And this redesignation recognizes all local government components and are in conformance with the Constitution and present laws. Greg has gone over this so that we are assured that the language contained in the committee substitute for House Bill 596 is constitutional. What I would like to do with your commission is to walk through this bill now and explain certain proposed revisions that the department is recommending. These have been cleared with Greg and we're all in concurrence, and give the reason as to why these changes are being made. On page 1, line 16, we recommend deletion of the word are and insertion of the room may be, because there is nothing mandatory about this legislation. For administration of this chapter, the following areas may be designated public health districts of the state. On page 2, line 1, there was an incorrect citation. That citation in line 1 should read 2903020 rather than 2963020. On page 2, line 25, this is authority in the unorganized borough. After the term or the word borough, insert the following: within the boundaries of regional educational attendance areas established under AS 1408031, if the population, including the military population of an attendance area, or two or more contiguous attendance areas combining to form a single service area, numbers at least 6,000 persons.
Inasmuch as it is the legislature that must make the designation, instead of making the designation for the regional attendance area of 1,000 or another of 2,000 and such, we wanted to make sure that it would be that 6,000. Yes, that was your rationale.
We make reference to it later on in the bill, but it really doesn't, it is not clear that it must be 6,000.
We were afraid that if we left it without that designation, then the legislature would say the additional attendance area of 1,000 would be designated. Then later on, the possibility of combining, we wish to have this done initially.
The next section encompasses, I think, Mr. Parr's suggestion. And on page 3, line 1, after area, insert or two or more contiguous regional educational attendance areas. This would mean that if two attendance areas initially wanted to go together, the petition could be for more than one attendance area, so that it could be on the ballot as a combined public health service area.
Mm-hmm.
gives the form of the ballot that I think Mr. Carr suggested. Shall a local public health service area be formed within the boundaries of the blank regional educational attendance area? Yes. And therefore, we added the possibility of contiguous attendance areas in the preceding. Down in line, page 3, line 17 to 21, it was the feeling of this committee that you did not wish the department combining areas. Therefore, we suggest deletion of the first sentence and substituting the following. To assure that the population served in each local public health service area remains at a minimum of 6,000 persons, including military population, two or more contiguous regional educational attendance areas established as local public health service areas under this section may combine as a single service area. They can decide to form a single service area prior to prior to the petition, or they can also do it after the petition. And then it goes, would go on to read, combining service areas under this subsection abolishes the offices of separate boards governing the former separate areas upon election of a single governing board, numbering 7, or that number designated by the department to serve as provided in section 41. So this should meet both situations. Now they may also, which also answers one of Mr. Carr's concerns, on page 3, item or subsection C, and this is no revision, it just says that if a petition for establishment of a local public health service area so requests, election of a local public health service area board provided for in section 41 of this chapter may be held concurrently with election on the question of establishing the local public health service area. So they would then not have to wait for a further period for the election of their board. They can do it concurrently. We go on to go into the local public health service area boards, and that is not changed substantially from the original bill. And also, most of this is taken from your regional education attendance area legislation. On page 4, line 23, the after area, insert a comma. And then page 4, line 24, delete by the department of two or more and substitute of two or more contiguous. So that it would then read, the lieutenant governor not less than 16 or more than 90 days after the establishment of a local public health service area, including but not limited to two or more contiguous areas combining.
You don't have to use combining.
Combining two or more contiguous areas.
Combining, okay.
To combine.
Oh, I see. Okay. We did this very thoroughly today. All right. It would then read, the lieutenant governor not less than 16 or more than 90 days after the establishment of a local public health service area, including but not limited to combining two or more contiguous areas and so forth. That again answers the question of the department. the, on page five is practically verbatim from the original bill. As well as page six, with our recommendations, with our proposed amendment to the original. Page six, line 23, a comma should be inserted following children. Should read, such factors as number of infant deaths per 1,000 live births, the number of preschool children, morbidity and mortality rates. A typographical error. On page nine, there's nothing, the contracts in the grant section are essentially the same as were discussed in this committee. On page nine, line 17, this was a request of the Regional Aid Health Corporation and they wish to have professional deleted. So that it would read qualifications of health personnel. The definitions 1 through 3 remain. On page 9, line 26, however, after A on that line, insert nonprofit. This was the intent originally and somehow was left out. It should be private health corporation means a nonprofit, non-governmental organization. This would indicate that the department would make grants through public health districts as defined in all of the organized governmental entities and would contract with the others. I mean, the definitions have been expanded somewhat.
I have a question. This may have been covered in our previous meeting, but I have to admit I don't remember. Your numbers on page 2, outline 8, there's maybe number 7 there. I'm not really quite sure what you're being done. But it says that if they didn't decide to form a health service area, I don't know. Public health district, okay. They didn't decide to form a public health district. They're still considered one. In other words, it says that number 7, areas which are served by private health corporations are not public health districts under 8.5 of this set. 8.5 is the one that were established by the procedures in here, which I think is the procedures for having a petition and election and so forth.
Mr. Chairman, may I comment on this? As Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, he's sitting in his chair, this section 21 is, at first glance, is quite complex. I have quite a struggle with it, and Dr. Pauls and I have quite a bit of consultation. I'm trying to delineate these first districts. So I can understand we're reading it requires some working through. To answer your question, Representative Carr, yes, 7 would permit an area to be designated a health district in the unorganized borough, which is not a health district under 5, the local service area is organized in a petition election, or is not a city in the unorganized borough. Notice the 5 also includes includes the city and the unorganized or automatically the health district. It's basically worded the way it is to avoid duplication in setting up the districts. We don't want to say something's a district under paragraph 5 and then maybe the district under paragraph 7.
That's not really answering half my questions for the state. My understanding is that people in the REAA is either one REAA is big enough or two or three takes that. They've got a petition, they say we'd like to have a health center, put it out there. Then there's an election held, they can get it approved, and they can elect the board somewhere. But here's another area where people have not decided to do that. And they will still be considered a public health district under 7, if I understand it correctly, that's why. Why are they going to consider one when they apparently weren't interested in becoming one?
Well, they're served by a private health corporation. They may be designated, as you will be heard.
That's my question.
I think the department wanted to cover that point, so.
What the intent is, it is that our areas this would be, see if I'm correct on this page, these would be areas that did not wish themselves to be a public health district, but there is a private health corporation, and we would rather have a private health corporation appear to function for them.
I guess that's not the point. They don't want to be a public health district. They don't want anyway, is that right?
It doesn't mean they don't want to be included in one, is it? They don't want to be it themselves.
Is it your intention, as part of the purpose of this bill, overall, not the government of Sanders, but I guess part of your intention is, when if this bill were enacted, or in effect, that the whole state would be blanked by public health districts. There'd be no portion of the state that would not be included in public health districts.
No.
So it would be possible in have areas which are not in public health districts. Then, in that case, I don't see the necessity for 7. I thought at first it was filling the gaps. If they, you know, you had all this area and you had one place that hadn't decided to do anything, you could go ahead and conclude them. But that isn't the case either, I don't know.
Mr. Chairman, my understanding from drafting it was they wanted to cover areas outside of those REAAs and outside of cities in the unorganized borough that were served by private health corporations. In the unorganized.
What would be an example of someplace?
I presume that the REAAs do not, of course, cover the entire unorganized borough.
They do. Yes. Let me see if this might be an example. When I read this was the last time I was in Bethel, I met with the KYTC people. And they were all in, and they were talking about 7 villages that were out in one small area that were fairly contiguous. They wanted to have their own clinic, their own organization right within there. And so when I looked upon this as being, they will be in an unorganized borough. They will be within REAA. They may be in contiguous REAA, but they appear to be choosing not necessarily to go with the Bethel group itself. They want to have their own clinic. And there was some discussion among the different people in the QRC group up there as to whether they should go individual or whether the people should be funneling more information and more services out to them without the hospital. So that's what I was in this might address itself to.
Yeah, when we first went through this, we went through trying to think of, you know, what would fall into these different categories. Mm-hmm. We had a little difficulty with this initially.
Well, I'm in trouble with this whole section, but if my recollection or understanding has been incorrect, that REAA do not cover the entire unorganized road. If that's incorrect, I better check that. The committee knows that. So my understanding apparently isn't correct. Ed 7 does not make sense, true.
Well, I just don't understand the point. You see, you're not giving any money, but you're matching grants to the one 2181 to 4, right? They don't go to 5, 6, and 7.
That's true.
Unless it's in some other place somewhere.
No, that's right.
So, you know, if if one of the native health, native health corporations is going to serve an area, that's fine, you know, I mean, okay, then they want to serve it, but I don't, why would you consider them a public health district unless it's your administrative person or something? I'm not objecting to it, I don't understand what's happening here, why would you?
We were trying, to cover every possibility in this, and I may have led Mr. Gray astray on this. But we were trying to look at every possible combination. That would come into this. It's been said, there's been considerable confusion as to try turning an organized borough and an unorganized borough, home rule cities, and trying to get everything into this.
Seven might make sense if, as you suggested earlier, Mr. Carr, an REAA chose not to become a health district and yet had a private corporation serving and public preferred maybe go under a contract with the state. Well, in both cases, it's a contractual relationship. Five could have been a grant relationship, right, not in the contract, but I didn't change the original grant.
Well, they don't get any money to the city, so.
So the distinction between grant and contract is fairly, thing. I mean, you know, contract implies the state is not delegating, it is supervising performance and functions. It's contract without administration. Grant applies more you're handing over the money under certain conditions to the local government. It seems it implies a little more of a.
Oh, I see what you're doing. Okay, you're going to, on page 7, down in lines 18 and following, you're going to contract with them if it's the case, right?
Right, that's right. Oh, excuse me, yeah, the bill does read 6 and 7 contracts, and then we'll approve.
And 4 is grants.
Four.
And 5 is a contract, but somehow.
It's a special kind of contract for these local public health service areas. The question arose in my mind as to why a contract was necessary. I discussed it with one of the members of our staff, and he felt, well, since the state is providing the government in the unorganized borough, the contract is more appropriate than a grant to an agency of the state. In other words, it's a state agency, the local service area board. Theoretically, it would be considered that. Men really develop that area of the law, but it was thought that a contract would be more appropriate since this is really kind of a state agency. The state is setting up a service area in the unorganized borough rather than an autonomous governmental unit recognized under the Constitution. Basically, that was the thinking. I myself find it a little bit of an enigma whether you should have grants or contracts or just one. I mean, whether or not you shouldn't have just one terminology.
Well, we also felt from the standpoint of defining what services, in other words, we would anticipate under this, if say the municipality of Anchorage would come in under this bill, that they would be providing total health services under a grant mechanism. Whereas if with a private nonprofit health corporation, we might want to only contract for one specific service for them to provide by service.
It's a greater degree of autonomy, and there'll be more supervision under the contract. Now, in one sense, I might mention that this could be important. Mrs. Young had stated earlier that I assured her the constitutionality of the bill. I didn't mean to be quite that definite about it. I don't think I've ever been that definite about this. Prima facie, the bill raised the question mark as to compliance with the constitutional provision that all local government powers are vested in boroughs and cities. Prima facie, question mark, only a question mark. If you really think it through and look at how it's constructed, the use of the term district should not lead one to a conclusion that you in effect set up special districts for quasi-municipal corporation. I can see, however, that you know, a challenge change could be made. In my view, the bill is constitutional. I can see, however, arguments can be made. I don't think they're very tenable arguments, that it is not constitutional. So that's the only caveat I would enter. I can't assure her categorically that it could not be challenged on constitutionality. Every time I look at this bill, I see something else that might be put in to strengthen it. And the only further suggestion I might have on this point of constitutionality is that we better make it fairly clear we're not delegating any authority to the private corporations. And the place where that raises a bit of a hackle to me is on Section 11, and I should have caught this earlier. But we say the purpose of the chapter is to promote, safeguard the health of general public by ordering delegation of state authority responsible for providing selected public health functions to local public health districts. And then we include these areas served by corporations as districts, but there's no local government entity. It'd be safest. I don't think it causes any real significant legal problem. There's no problem using that term delegation as to local governments, which 1 through 5 are in effect, or else an agency of the state, 5 an agency of the state, the local public health service here. There's no problem with delegating to the local governments, the cities, the boroughs, the unified municipalities, and to the local public health service areas in that organized borough. I get a little wary about using the term delegating to districts which are really private corporations. That language is awkward, I think. That concept, delegation to districts which would include corporations, and could raise a question on constitutionality. I don't think it's substantial when you read it, the way the bill is set up. If the committee would consider, and the department does not object, I might suggest we rephrase that just slightly, get away from the word delegation if possible. The purpose of this chapter is to promote and safeguard the health of the general public by orderly discharge of state authority and responsibility for providing selected public health functions, by authorizing grants to local government entities and contract awards for administration of state public health functions by private health corporations in areas of the state not served by local government entities having public health powers. Now that's wordy and lengthy, but I think it kind of strengthens the Constitutional. Yes. Your bill basically is authorizing grants and contract awards. And so I don't think we're really destroying or undermining or misstating the purpose of the bill. And yet, as to get away from this question of delegating local government powers to any group other than cities and boroughs, including unorganized. I would prefer that kind of wording myself if I were rewriting it again. So let me also say, I'm not sure you really have a delegation here at all. I know the word delegation is being used, but for rather complicated esoteric reasons, I could argue you're not really delegating here. The local governments already have the powers, you're not delegating. If the committee would agree to that change, I think it would further clarify the constitutional concept of the bill. On the same point, Representative Parr intimated that perhaps we don't have to get into the districts at all. Frankly, that is my feeling, that the bill basically authorizes grants to local governments and contracts to private health corporations to administer state public health functions. I think that can be done without getting into the terminology and concept of districts at all. However, the department may feel, because of federal concepts, federal procedures, federal applications, federal thinking, or perhaps because of the tradition we've had in territorial days of health districts, that the term should, that the term would be a more, would provide for a more orderly accomplishment of the law.
We definitely feel this way.
Well, I know that was discussed with Dr. Pauls and me at some length. And if that was the intent of the department in supporting the bill, it's a governor's bill, of course, my job is to try to carry out that. And that's why I went through that agony of trying to set up these districts and still keep within the Constitution. except for seven, which is something we still have to solve, I think we're well within the Constitution on this.
The difference between really giving grants to some local agency to perform the department's duties or setting up districts, the significant difference is that with the districts, there really is local control. And merely by giving grants, the control is by whatever agency the grant is given to, which doesn't necessarily reflect the needs they're perceived by the rural population.
You're saying you're going to make a grant under certain conditions, compliance with PL 93-641. You're going to make grants to cities and boroughs, whether area-wide boroughs or non-area-wide or service areas of boroughs. And, you know, we have a lot of programs that do that. And they set up all sorts of conditions. So I don't really see that it would be technically necessary for the purpose of just grants and contracts to have that district terminology. However, I know very little about the complexities of the federal laws on this subject. And I have an inkling that they have traditionally talked in terms of districts in federal programs. So I just wanted to point that out to the committee, that if it's just a grant and contract program, unless the department feels, as it apparently does strongly, that it should be done on a district basis, there's no necessity, it appears to me, for even getting into the concept of districts. But if we get into them, I'm fairly confident they would stand up constitutionally.
Madam Chairman, I'd like to show up with giving probably some possible examples of these seven classes. Now, your first one is an organized borough and has the adult powers how to take care of it.
Okay.
Number two, unified municipalities, anchored. Okay? Now, number three, an organized borough which has public health powers. And I don't know which borough that might be. But
there are none at the present that we could ascertain.
And but it could be any borough, it could be Massachusetts or anybody else. And it's which long is not unified. Number three now is whatever the question. The service areas are formed inside a borough by an ordinance passed by the borough assembly. For certain powers which are certain functions which are carried out in that portion of the borough only. Correct? Now if I understand it before right, you can take Fairbanks again. We don't our federal council board does not have health power.
No.
But it could be a service area formed inside that borough. Outside the city, within the borough somewhere which would have these health functions. And then they would be eligible for these same kinds of directions. Then number five, local public health services, those are the ones where the REAA people get together and petition and have an election. That's why I was described inside the Fairbanks Hospital Borough as an example. I'm not sure there may be some problems with that because the assembly would certainly have to approve it by ordinance, and I'm not certain you have to run your funding through the borough. You couldn't run your funding correctly.
They
have to go because they have no power to do anything.
That would be
five. Yeah. And then number five would be, say, REAA's, 14 if it has enough people, or 14 and 15 if they are contiguous, and if they don't have enough people, by either one by themselves,
one
petition, and then, and number six, I don't know, but this would be one, I suppose, perhaps in the Cuscatlan area of UConn, or Kenai, they have a health corporation there, and, okay, so they, that would be a case there where they put that out. And then number seven would be an unorganized borough, but really the same as six, except six is an organized borough and seven is unorganized. Is that correct?
And that your examples there would be your UConn Cuscatlan Health Corporation or Morton Sound.
They're not in an organized borough. They're not unorganized. But it's Kenai, they have the same. The only problem I really might see is that, before I said, as long as you confer itself and no objection, no problem.
Representative Carter, Mr. Chairman,
then they, and they are served by a private health corporation. Any part of the REAA that didn't join, didn't become a local health service, there was an elected board, but served by a private health corporation, that is what Seven is talking about. Is that your understanding or something?
Yeah,
that wasn't my intent in drafting it, but that's
well,
what it was intended to catch on.
Yeah, the main difference being that I see it is they would get, they would have a contract with Revenue Grant.
Yes.
And they would not be that sort of quasi-governmental body that the other one would be.
Right.
The other one would be a quasi-governmental, and the REAAs are really, not really municipalities, but they have some kind of a semi-official status or something like that.
Now, this doesn't cover the entire state, but really does it, because there must be areas that are not served by private health corporations in the Northern Ireland borough that are also, well, it could, it's an if it doesn't want to go as an REAA, local public health service area,
it wouldn't be.
It's not served by a private health corporation.
But all the REAA people want to opt in, and it would cover the whole state.
Yeah, so. Theoretically,
I don't think there's any area of the state that is not covered by private health, private nonprofit health corporation.
Okay, fine.
They don't all have. They don't all. They aren't all as active as UConn, Custer, Grimm, and Morton Sound, but they do have nonprofit health arms,
including all the organized boroughs as well as the unorganized boroughs.
Right. Well, they cover. For example, Cook Inlet covers. The Cook Inlet Native Health Corporation covers the municipality of Anchorage, but what they have agreed is that they just, you know, they just go around the border.
Mm-hmm. Are those the lines over there? That's the
area. Oh, yeah.
Those are the areas.
So they call corporations.
Well, that's all you use, and the municipality's both strong.
But the REA lines, I mean, the corporation lines.
The REA's following.
I'm sorry. The line.
Now notice the under 5 of this, the cities in the organized borough will not be a part of the local public health service area, presumably.
Well, unless they must have a population of 2,000.
Right.
A city in the unorganized borough. And they also may include themselves in a local public health service area.
Let me clarify what I was intending to say. If a city is in a regional educational attendance area under this, then it would be part of the district, if the regional educational attendance area went to a district. That's correct, isn't it? In other words, any city within one of these REAAs would be part of that local health service area. There are some cities that are
They would have to, by resolution, consent to the inclusion of the city.
Well, how are cities handled in the REAA? They are included. Is that correct? I think the cities would also be included in the health district.
Not for city school board.
Is Wrangell's in the unorganized borough? Cordova's
in
the unorganized
borough.
Yes, so
in this case, if the city, it was a city health
district,
does that exist?
No, there's no city.
Is there a city?
But they,
city with health powers.
They have their own school system.
Well, I know, but would Wrangell be considered in an REAA?
No, it's the first priority.
None of those cities are,
city.
As you say, no, they're not in the REAA. I mean, they're physically in
the. So the REAAs do not encompass the entire unorganized group.
No,
do they?
No, excluding us.
Well,
that's
why
we get
I was thinking in geographic terms.
Well, that's what I had in mind, that the cities are not part of the REAA, but that's where you get in all these intricacies here. I don't think it bears on the.
Well, what you said on page 7 is the city has to have at least 2,000 people, and you have to decide, you have the commission to determine that they can't provide a service more effectively by being in the district formed by how the REAA.
The provision on page 2, starting at line 12, it says a city in the unorganized borough may include itself in a local public health service area. The established under 31 to 41. That means it may join in the REAA. It has reference to a city like Wrangell, which is not, is in the unorganized borough, several others, but it is not part of the REAA. What we're saying coordinator is that a city may join. I just want to make sure that this language here makes sense. I want to take responsibility for it if it doesn't. And it does to me. Even seven makes sense, though I have a little different interpretation.
Well, I'm not sure. I'm a little troubled with seven, too, because of the section on the bottom of that page where it says the local health district, maybe you already know this, on petition of at least 10% of officers of a regional county area or two or more shall place the question on the ballot. So that's the ballot goes within the regional attendance areas. And then you have this area, which is, this section here covers areas which are not area. And so how do they apply a petition to be a public health petition?
Are you
and
talking,
speaking? Number seven, on page two. Then fit into this designation here, or this section, as to how to vote to become a local health district, because the area
state makes a contract with a private corporation. This terminology really is incidental. It's regarded as a district for administration of this chapter in terms of an entity that the state can contract with, that's all.
They don't have to vote.
They don't have any vote or anything. The state at its discretion would be able to enter on a contract with the private health corporation. Of course, the private health corporation would have to agree too. You don't have to have, you don't have a governing body. The reason for that is there's really no no governing body available. Except that you do have an REAA up there. That's true. But they may not want to go under that. They may not want to elect a governing body and all that. They just want to continue to arrange for the private health corporation.
Well, in the unorganized borough, you must have an elected board of health. You don't have to worry about it with governmental entities because they already have administrative people that are people who have been elected by the electorate.
Right. But what you're authorizing number five is a service area, in fact, elected board of health. But you're authorizing it. You're authorizing it in the REAA. Let's see. Let's go back on this. Local public health service areas established in the unorganized borough under 31 to 41 of this chapter. Now, 31 to 41 talks about a regional educational attendance area. That's where you can get the board. They may not want a board, however. They may not petition for one. If they don't, then seven
board.
Comes in.
They have to have a board. And
they have a school board.
No, the school board.
You mean they must be a health district? This bill doesn't say that. This bill says if you get a petition from the people and you have an
election,
then you have a board. But suppose you get no petition.
Then they cannot be a health district.
Fine, that's what the bill says.
That's exactly the way it is.
That does not mean they have to have a board.
They don't have to have a board if they're not a health district.
Fine. That's where I was trying to
This is getting...
It's a very intricate bill. I have nothing but headaches with it.
The more talk I say, the more I think we shouldn't talk about bills. We should just vote our gut feelings on them and
Chairman, I have a minor question. On page 2, line 12. Page 2, line 12. Is that local public health service area supposed to be public health service district? Or is that a good, I don't quite understand it. It looks like my change in terminology just wasn't picked up somewhere.
No.
I saw
that
article
on page 1.
It's up under long line 3 also.
Well, what distinction are you making? Because the service area is a fairly clear cut thing. It's established by statute and municipal code inside a borough, right? That's a service area. But now, what we're talking about here are something different, health districts, right, public health districts, so.
What we intended as in the basic legislation, we used the word health district. We used the word public health district as the all encompassing term to cover all of the 7 counties.
Sure, I understand that.
And so there, where we get in, that the rest is, we're talking about the local public health service area.
You know, I just.
Oh, wait a minute.
Is that the REAA's?
Yes. And the other one is borough.
It has two problems. One is it says public health service. That part, connotes one thing. And the other is health service area, connotes another. So you have two possible interpretations of that phrase that are both wrong.
There cannot be a service area in the unorganized borough. Service areas exist only in organized borough.
Oh, no. If you look, at 2903020. That's why we specifically refer to it under section 26 of this bill.
That's where the legislature creates service areas.
Yeah. Can you have service areas in the unorganized borough? And that's the authority you're operating under, and that's the constitutional authority you're operating.
Because we are the assembly of the
unorganized borough. It doesn't say that in the Constitution. That's what
you do that because we actually meet as the assembly if you have legislation that's never done so.
Well, you pass a bill. They've established.
Well, I've been told. I know.
All this could be challenged. That whole concept of unorganized borough hasn't been fully tested yet. But in setting up the regional education attendance areas last year, the legislature set up service areas. The unorganized borough.
Okay,
the law says that.
All right,
that's what you're doing in this bill.
Okay, these are the service areas established under the provisions of 2903020.
And this chapter. Section 31 and 40 now. That's your entire regional education attendance area.
I know that wasn't right here. Okay. So we're talking about service areas now in the unorganized borough established by the legislature. Legislature may establish, et cetera. So we're going to pass a bill.
This is it.
This bill won't do it. I can assure you, don't do it, because unless it's quite different than what you do on the local level, we will have to pass a bill establishing a service area with certain specified boundaries and so forth, and the function that service area performs.
The only thing I can say is section.
It'd be a very short bill, perhaps. You would have to establish a service area boundaries and say this is a service area for the purposes of service area.
But how did you do it for the REAA? Because that was established by the service areas for educational purposes. And the boundaries were not established but left to community regional affairs in concert with the people.
This bill ties on to the REAA, of course, and says whatever is a service area there, REAA is a service area here, including the cities that may be in the REAA, but there are not technically. I don't say I can have a city in an REAA. The cities are school. Oh, yes, you can. Second class cities, of course. First class cities would not be held. Okay. Yeah. And it's section 26. I understand the problem, Representative Parr. Section 26 is a provision that tries to take care of that problem, where it says the legislature authorizes establishment local public health service areas. The point is very valid there, and it's a fundamental point. That's what, and one we had to grapple with. That's why it's in there.
Yeah. I'll accept that.
May I ask the committee a question? I noticed that it's just about 6 o'clock.
I noticed that too.
If the committee feels it's reasonable to expect to be able to move on this bill, back on this bill within the next 10 or 15 minutes, even more than that. Let's continue. If you feel like you have another hour or so before you're going to be comfortable with it, 2 or 3, let's continue this at our meeting tomorrow.
Well, I think I would just come back and do it later.
Mm-hmm.
I said I'll come back to it and tell you what's going on.
Lois, I think that actually puts us ahead of the game because we had it scheduled for tomorrow, and so at least we
Yeah, you sort of caught us.
This is what we
Sure, exactly. We did actually a position paper on here, but then Greg's language was just a wee bit different from ours, so we just
So,
did
I think meeting will come to order. Lois, yesterday we talked at length about some proposed amendments
to the
department.
We know, let's cut the clock. Please?
I'd like to have you go through those amendments again, just describing them, since we've already discussed them at length, and then we'll act on them one by one. We'll just go through them, so let me repeat that again for Glenn. Glenn, you remember that yesterday Lois had several proposed amendments that we discussed at length.
We're discussing?
Yes. No, we discussed at length, and I've asked you to go through them just to say the amendment, and then we'll vote them up and down today.
Amendment is on page 1, line 16. Delete the word are and substitute maybe. And this is to get across that this is not mandatory.
Is there objection to the amendment? Hearing none, the amendment is adopted.
Page 2, line 1. Delete 2963020 and substitute 2903020. This was an improper citation.
It should be 2963?
No, it should be 2903020.
Oh, 03.
That relates to unorganized service areas in an unorganized borough. The 63 citation is for organized boroughs.
Okay, and that's just a typo.
That's correct.
Is there objection to the amendment? Hearing none, the amendment is adopted.
Page 2, line 25. After borough, insert the following. Within the boundaries of regional educational attendance areas established under AS 1408031, if the population, including military population, of an attendance area, or two or more contiguous attendance areas combining to form a single service area, numbers at least 6,000 persons.
Is there objection to the amendment?
Madam Chairman, you can't take formal action on these other
I think we can. I'm sure that's
Yeah, you can take the testimony, but you cannot take formal action on the bill of the I know we've gone through this before, not just today. You can't. You just spend your rules on it.
Mr. Osey, the chair will rule.
Well, depending on what your rule is, it's not
I'm not certain what appeals you have, Mr. Osey, but I encourage
I will
you
take
to
part
of
it. So, I mean, yes, that's.
Is there objection to the amendment? Hearing none, the amendment is adopted. Number 4.
Page 3, line 1, after area, insert for two or more contiguous regional education attendance areas. That's to permit one regional educational attendance areas or more than one contiguous to petition to form a public health service area.
Madam Chairman, if Lois can just go through them, then if we can get a quorum here for 2 minutes, I'm prepared to move on all the proposed amendments. So let's do that.
Okay.
So,
I was thinking that we'd already gone through them. And
well,
so,
that's the way I feel about it.
Okay.
The ones who are, I think, interested in the bill have already gone through
them. Glenn, I don't think we're going to get a quorum for the rest of the day. Ostergrex got an appointment. Burner's out of town. OC's, you know. Angry now.
We
don't think it's Larry
Davis.
Carr is going to the airport in Swanson. I don't know where he took off. I just really don't think we're gonna get it. And
Was Carr already left?
No, he's in judiciary.
No, he's not down there.
He's not down there, then he's south of the airport. He's on standby, so he had to go out there. You know, he's waiting. When I, you know, I'm not into really sneaking something past. You know, I'm not the kind of person that waits until I've got particular votes to bring up particular bills. But,
I have no objection to these.
There's no objection. These are just pretty innocuous amendments. They're just making sure the bill says what we want it to say. I think that actually OC says, from the rules say that you have to have a form to begin, but it doesn't say that you have to have a form to act on bills. We all know that at the end of the session, people bicycle bills and don't even have a meeting on them. Just take them around to get signatures. No one objects to that.
We did have our quorum.
We did have a quorum to begin, so we're well within the joint rules. I think he's just mistaken, and I'd like to continue. I think the three of us can do a creditable job on this bill, and I'd like to get it in. So do you mind if we then keep going through them one by one?
No, except that I don't have any objection to them. I'm prepared to vote on the works.
Okay, I'd like you to remind me quickly what they are, just in case. I'm not sure.
We all have to get copies of those.
There's a coverage list.
Oh, well, good.
Yeah.
They're already in print. Every one of them, did you change anything?
Well, except that Mr.
Matyowski.
Did give you, I guess, we don't have a copy, we just understood the copy was sent over.
Maybe you better send us
of the purpose, of definite.
Change the purpose clause.
Change the purpose.
Okay.
You got that?
Sharon's gonna Xerox that off. I'm gonna go through these again.
I was just gonna call me a reservation room.
You gonna go home, huh?
And you leave me too?
Might as well.
Must be a little business that can be mentioned.
Okay, is there objection to adopting the department's proposed revisions? Hearing none, the revisions are adopted.
Well, Madam Chairman, if you want a motion, I have no particular objection to that. That tortuous language that Greg gave us yesterday. I'm not really sure.
On the purpose clause?
Yeah.
Would you hear?
I don't think it's any more unconstitutional than the rest of it.
Okay. There's a motion to adopt the new purpose clause. Is there objection? Hearing none, adopted. On Mr. Matyowski's memo, two additional minor amendments he suggests are after boroughs, insert a comma, and after corporations, insert a comma. Is there objection to that?
I object.
You object.
I don't like comma.
Comma, not coma.
I got my one chance to object to something.
Captain objects. All in favor, say aye. You're overruled, Captain. Amendments are adopted. And then he says that we might also wish to consider section 7. Seems to me that section 7 is screwed up, that he wrote that not understanding at all some important things. What page is that?
That should be on page 2.
Because he didn't realize that REAs covered the whole
page 2
state, and although it seemed that language could be construed to mean something else, I think we should either get rid of it or write it so that it's not ambiguous.
I think he could do that.
What's the ambiguous section number 7?
As he says, section 7 would presumably permit all or a part of a regional educational attendance area which does not establish itself by petition and election as a local public health service area to be designated as a health district if it is served by a private health corporation. That's not what we want at all. We don't want part of an REAA calling itself a health district because it's served by a private health corporation. That, boy, that's not what we want at all. So I think we can take it out because I think that 1 through 6 cover all the possibilities. Does the department concur?
I would think that under 5, the public, the private health corporation could provide the service under 5. So I think 7 is superfluous.
Is there objection to deleting number 7? Hearing none, number 7 is deleted. Is that the extent of amendments to be offered on this bill? Do the members have any amendments? Are you ready for a question on the bill?
Everything perfectly legal. Do you want to try and get somebody else in here for 5 minutes?
Okay. I wonder where red now.
Red was down the end of the hall down there.
He's gone. He's probably on Senator Source. Sharon's getting her exercise today.
She wanted to reduce it.
I'm glad this is a health bill, Madam Chairman, because I think everybody's so thoroughly sick of it by now. this is
even the department.
This is preventive health.
Yeah, right.
Just don't say anything about REAs when Red comes in. Or the Pioneer Home. We're home
yes.
Free.
That's your main question. Then the proposed revisions on that first page plus Ms. Velasquez are what? That'll be the next.
That's right. Don't you think we're easy today?
Very nice. We appreciate that.
Look at the buildup we've had, though.
Catherine and I sent a note to Mr. Malone today telling him we wanted to take him to lunch. Was he available? He said, available yet? Easy, no.
He was wondering what you were going to ask for.
Well, we tried to persuade him that 1HSA is not the way to go. I think while we're on that subject, it'd be a good idea to get Mr. Renninger's papers showing that 1HSA is more expensive than 3.
Yeah.
He did a thing on that.
Oh, that did?
I think it'd be a nice thing to just have happen to.
We had a fiscal one for our hospital facilities with a backup data or comparison.
Now, another problem.
Apparently, Hugh hasn't seen that. It'd be a good idea for him to see that. Sorry.
I wouldn't do that for anybody but you.
Yeah, I know, I appreciate it. Where were you?
I was headed out of here. Full bore.
What happens? I hang up
in a messy one. I have an appointment, you gotta know. If you wanna move this bill, you can.
We're just gonna move the bill. All in favor?
You know,
I'll make a motion, Madam Chairman.
Okay.
Keep it official. Can't give me anything but a no wreck. What are you going to do? Move the bill out? Before I sit down?
Sit down and make a break.
Yeah. Mr. Heck.
Yes, Madam Chairman, I move that we move this out with individual recommendation.
Is there objection? Hearing none? Ordered. Thank you very much. Mr. Swanson, you may be the first to sign. Well, actually, it'd be clear to thank the government.
I have about a fifth here. Madam Chairman, for Lois, this is going to be her win a few, lose a few day.
So what makes that today different than any other day?
CRE, you know, which is immediate. 3:30.
Oh, you didn't know.
Yeah.
I
You want to pay for the responsibility of the bill, don't cover any more than except the bill maybe.
What's the matter?
Yeah, I can't decide the bill.
Let me, so I know what to check here. Catherine, are you gonna vote to pass? Lenny, what are you gonna vote?
I'm just gonna go with.
No, Rick? And Alvin?
I don't know how it's your assignment. Now, we're gonna do pass on.
Is this gonna be legal? Do pass, committee substitute.
Is it gonna be committee substitute or?
Yeah, it'll have to be a committee substitute because it's. You know, when we say that there has to be 10% of the people have to sign the petition. And it was two areas, he said, he presumes that what we mean is that 10% of people in each area. In other words, one area can't force it on another. And I said, I felt that he could write it that way and if that was our intention, then I don't think there's any problem with that. But how about in the election? I was assuming all along that we'd have to pass in both REAAs as well. And we don't specify that.
I might ask you one and not the other.
Okay, so.
It's implied. Both points are implied in the petition, but I'd rather get a word.
Good, I wanted to check with you before I asked him to specify that, but I think we should.
You just gotta add the word both.
Well, I'll reword section 31 to read, upon receipt of petition signed by at least 10% of the qualified voters in the regional educational attendance area or of each of two or more regional education attendance areas, rather than or two or more, or each of two or more, just to make sure.
10% would be the each.
Yeah, 10% of each. Then in the next subsection where it talks about the election, upon certification by the lieutenant governor, the majority of the voters voting on the question voted affirmatively. We'll have to add a phrase or a word or two to make clear that in each attendance area.
So it has to pass in both areas, one can't force another.
I would think that would be clearly implied.
Yeah, I'm sure that was our intent. We did discuss it at one time on the original bill and I just wanted to, I didn't want to overstep my authority in telling you to draft it that way.
Right, this has to be put in final form anyhow since it's only a draft, so I'll just make those little technical revisions. It's okay with the committee.